Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 24th on the West Coast, now May the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and hope you find tonight's show and our guest to be interesting. Well, with the world gearing up for another false flag event, there was a news report this evening that Joplin, Missouri was again under a major tornado warning. And if you've seen any of the photographs of the clouds, they were quite unusual. Certainly they looked manufactured. And there is some evidence that this is occurring from space. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're running the HAARP system in Alaska. And I'm sure that they've done this from time to time, though they have been warned not to use it. And therefore, something is going on from space, which is creating this weather. Maybe somebody's showing off that they can do it twice now. Haven't heard if any second round of tornadoes have actually touched ground. Then, on the other hand, you have the CDC spreading fear and rumors about zombies. It gets more ridiculous as the days go on. And I thought, how can I segue into a show tonight after talking about zombies? Well, my good friend Daryl Dickinson sent me an interesting story where a gentleman recounts his experience. The police came to my front door last night holding a picture of my wife, then asked, "Is this your wife, sir?" Shocked, I answered, "Yes." They said, "I'm afraid it looks like she might have been hit by a bus." I said, "I know, but she has a lovely personality and she sings good at church." With that, I think we'll go into a street rhyme.
I'm not into any.
And give me a chance to get that set up here. I thought I did have it set up, but it went to something else. So we're going to try this again. This is Mike Stern.
Thank you.
Mike Stern, guitarist extraordinaire, and Street Rhyme from his album These Times. Well, These Times, it's been a while since we've had tonight's guest on the show. Thought it'd be good to bring him back here before the end of the month. He is an environmental scientist, a chemist, an herbalist, an historian, and a musician. My good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning?
Hello. I'm doing fine. Good morning, Don from New York. Doing fine, thanks. Great to be back.
Good to have you back. Just wanted to pick up the pace a little bit tonight and have something that jams a little bit.
It sounded good.
There's a lot of craziness going on and a lot of talk about what's being embedded in IC chips. Now, you have a background in the manufacturing of IC chips. I don't know how closely you've been following it, the current stories out there. But there's a lot of consciousness control going on through computers. They've certainly been trying to robotize people. You can see this in a lot of the modern pop music, especially in the concert presentations, dressing up like robots and then peeling in front of the audience, you know, these grand entrances of light and the sun goddess symbolism flashing all over the place. And a lot of people are just enraptured by the excitement. They don't really see what's going on. What are your perceptions in that regard?
The sun goddess referenced, Don, I'm not sure who you're referring to on that one. I've definitely been noticing the musical structure being very much robotic, pretty lame, and the videos, a little bit of videos, quite lame as well, but definitely robotic for sure. And but anything pertaining to a sun goddess, I didn't catch any of that. But they are clearly trying to advance technology to the point where they can somehow merge it and integrate it in our culture to the extent that the kids will lose their identity. I mean, that's becoming very obvious. And then the trance-like type of music that they're pumping out, calling it pop today, is instrumental, pardon the pun, in helping to achieve that condition. And but anybody, you know, that really has their own volition and they hear that kind of music, I mean, you can only tolerate it for a brief time before you have to shut it right off, because you can feel it's like programming type of inherent patterns that seem to be latent within the structure of that, those recordings. And so it's definitely, it would rub you the wrong way when you're trying to maintain your own identity and individuality and your own volition. You would definitely find that that kind of music is counterproductive to that intention that one would want to maintain in their own personal space. And so it's clear as all could be that they're using the music industry to further get the kids into a self-hypnotic kind of state where they lose their identity as they wrap them up more in technology. Now, let's just look at the kids all the time pressing those keys on those little iPads or cell phones, whatever it is that they're constantly absorbed with. And it's hilarious. It's really hilarious. And every time it buzzes, they have to respond and answer instead of leave it alone. Is there a rush? Is it an emergency? Leave it alone. Go about your business and keep yourself free from feeling that you have to be constantly chained to that device. And every time it requires your attention, you must respond. So they're definitely conditioning these kids more than ever.
Even adults, I notice adults that use the same devices, cell phones, pagers. Pagers have gone out of style a little bit.
Right.
But they're constantly looking at them. And, of course, they have all kinds of ringtones, some very obnoxious. And you can be sitting in church, for example, and somebody's cell phone will go off and you will hear this demonic laugh and some crazy music. People just don't have any qualms exposing other people, you know.
Yes, that's right, Don. You think at least in when you go to church or somewhere where you don't want to disturb the atmosphere, the environment you're in, because it's normally going to be quiet and everyone's in a focused state of devotion or whatever. And you think you would shut the phone off or leave it in the car? I mean, do you have to have it on you everywhere you go? It's incredible. It really is. And by the way, Don, it's worth mentioning for all those with cell phones, I personally don't have one and I don't ever intend on having one. But those wave shields for protecting the user from the bombardment of microwaves, I bought a bunch of them for Christmas presents for friends and family last Christmas, and everyone has told me that they've noticed a significant improvement with the radiation being much – it doesn't get as hot around the ear when the phone – of course, you don't really want the phone up against your head, and but these wave shields are supposed to be a great filter that – reduces that exposure significantly, especially the Wave Shield Gold. And so far, it looks like from all my feedback, as I would check in with everybody, they say they like them. They notice a difference, a significant difference with the heat on that phone not being so much since they've had that filter in place. So it's a very simple little thing, but it seems to be effective. So it's worth mentioning for everybody out there with cell phones. It's worth looking into a wave shield, in particular the gold, the top of the line one they make. And I think everyone would be happy with that, at least feeling a little more secure with the protection that they can have with compared to without that filter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to mention that. I have no stock in WaveShield or anything like that, but the reports from feedback are positive, so I just want everybody to be aware of that. It's probably worth checking into.
You may have seen some of the videos where the three young people sitting at a round table, and they're spread out around evenly around the table, and they put an egg, a chicken egg, on the table, and then they call each other's cell phones while they're sitting on the table with the egg in between the signal going from one phone to another. Now, technically, those signals are going to a satellite, so they're not necessarily going to each other. But there's something about this connection where they actually caused an egg to explode from the energy when they began ringing. They didn't answer the phones. They just let them ring. And it's pretty compelling to see it.
Yes, if that's a legitimate video, then obviously that says a lot right there about the destructive nature of that technology.
Mm-hmm. It's microwave technology, so.
Sure, totally.
You know, like you, I don't use a cell phone. It's a hassle. I mean, just watching other people use them and try and drive, you know.
Yeah. And then you see many, though, Don, with that earpiece, that Bluetooth earpiece up around the ear,
mm-hmm.
so that it's more convenient for them to respond. And if that doesn't resemble the early stages of a Borg look, you know,
yeah.
I mean, there it is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely, to me, primitive technology. Over the last so many years, when people are stunned that I don't have a cell phone, Mike, I can't believe you don't have a cell phone. You know, it's unbelievable. And you're so much into technology. And I said, you'll take a wise notice to the fact that I do not possess a cell phone, and I never will, because obviously if I don't have one, it must be a terrible technology that you really don't want around. And then, of course, the response will always be, but for an emergency, you know, you just got to have it. I said, yes, and that's how they get you. Because it's very nice to have, especially in emergency. And I even, you know, respect that when there is an emergency and you have it, it's great to have. But to be on it all day long, just to idle chat, you know, it's ridiculous. And it's primitive in the respect that, Don, as you're well aware, there's a telepathic ability that we possess. And all you have to do is develop your senses enough. And next thing you know, you'll know somebody's looking for you without a phone ringing. And oftentimes, before your phone even rings, that person's comes to your mind, and next thing you know, the phone rings, and it's that individual on the phone. And so that tells you right there, there's a much better way of communicating that's safe and much more effective. But of course, you have to really develop that little knack there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's latent within everybody, of course.
Well, yeah, it's my regular experience. I'll think of someone, and they'll call.
Right.
And I'm not the only one that has that experience. I know a lot of other people that do.
Sure. It's latent within our being, and some people already have it more pronounced than others. But a little bit of effort, a little bit of work, and everybody can develop it to the point where you don't need a phone. You just think the thoughts, and it's transmitted quickly. And I demonstrated that to a friend years back from IBM, a very good friend of mine, and she ran into a real terrible situation with her mom over an incident that was totally an accident. But her mom was very, very upset with her, and they were very close and tight. And she was so upset that my friend said her mom won't forgive her. And so after realizing how serious it was, I said, there's a way for your mom to forgive you without her even knowing it. So I began to explain to her how things really work with the higher self, and that through the higher self, she would be able to resolve everything with her mom. And next thing you know, at the physical level, her mom's going to get back into a peaceful relationship with her. And so, of course, it was all hard to believe. She wanted a demonstration of this ability. And so I said, fine. And as it turned out, she was going on vacation down in Cancun. And then she was going to fly into Chichen Itza during that vacation on a particular day and visit Chichen Itza. And so I said, okay, great. Now, when you go to Chichen Itza and you're going to the pyramid and you climb up to the top of the pyramid, at that point, do this little technique I just taught you, and I'll tell you the exact day and time that you called me from the top of that pyramid. So about a week and a half later, she's back home, and she's very adamant and excited to see what I picked up. And I told her, I said, well, it was going to be Tuesday, but it wasn't Tuesday. It ended up being Thursday around 2-3 o'clock our time, as I recall it here. And her jaw hit the floor. She goes, Michael, it was going to be Tuesday. But then when we were flying in, a storm came out of nowhere. We went back. They postponed it. And we flew back in on a Thursday. And it was approximately noonish down there in Mexico when she was at the top of the pyramid and called me. And she goes, I can't get over that. And I said, well, now you can see how effective this technique is. And so she began to apply it. Excuse me. And within no time, her mom and her were back together, being in a great relationship that they always had. And it was great to see that. And so obviously, based on that, we don't need such technologies for communication, but we have to be very much in tune with our environment, internally and externally, in order to have that ability availing itself to us all the time.
Yeah, and we didn't have this technology, just like there was a time we didn't have cars, you know, and people become so reliant on a certain type of technology that they assume that that's the only way they can exist. Is with that technology, and really they're putting themselves out of touch with who they are.
Right, exactly, Don.
They're lowering their vibration.
Yes, and they're cutting off their own mental faculties as they rely on this external technology.
Yeah, that's obvious, quite obvious. Well, how did we get on cell phones anyway? The robotization of kids. It's taken a sinister turn in the schools as well, and kids are not being allowed to be kids anymore. They're being programmed to act a certain way, to tattle on grown-ups, even to the extent of making something up just to cause problems. I recently heard a story about a football player who happened to be a young black man that was playing high school football. And he was assigned a neighborhood in his area to go basically door to door asking for donations for the football program. And they sold candy and other things that they had a list of, sort of a brochure that they would show to each household. And there was a kid across the street from where this young man had knocked on the door and was waiting for someone to come and answer. And the kid called the cops on this young man that was raising money. And said, well, he looks suspicious. And they told us at school if we saw anything suspicious to call the police. So they came and arrested this kid. And, of course, he had a permit to do this. He was doing this on behalf of the school football team. He was also a star athlete at this school. But imagine the indignation that he suffered being treated like a criminal, as if he was trying to break into a house, when all he had done was stand on the front porch and knock on the door and wait for someone to answer. Isn't it amazing? And of course, and he was even identified as having a gun on top of it, okay?
Yeah.
So when the police came, they had their guns drawn and, you know, they take this guy down. And,
thank God they didn't shoot the poor kid.
Well, he was lucky, but.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm surprised the SWAT team didn't come in with the big truck and all the jackbooted gear. You know, I mean, it's really sad, Don, to hear such stories. But yes, this is what they're using school for today. Not for educating the kids and make sure they're smart with their science and their math and their reading skills. No, no. That's not important for government fools. So now they just have to socially engineer the kids to be good little tattletales. And what's the Homeland Insecurity, Zeke Heil, motto? If you see something, say something kind of nonsense crap. And there, I guess that's an example of it right there. Instead of, you know, just saying across the street, hey, what are you doing? Who are you looking for? Oh, I'm just going around collecting for school. Oh, okay. All righty. You know, I mean, that's all you have to do if you're concerned about your neighborhood and some strangers strolling around house to house.
Oh, yeah. It's if you're watching for 5 minutes, you can sort of see that that he's going from house to house. It's not
right.
It's not what it's intended to be. But then again, you have now another kid raised in a totally different system. He didn't grow up learning about those things, that it was safe to go door to door and talk to people, talk to strangers, and introduce yourself and be nice. You know, everything is...
Antisocial.
Yeah.
Antisocial, Don. Can't trust anybody. Don't trust your neighbors. Don't trust anybody. Could be terrorists, Don. Could be terrorists. Could be terrorists is hiding in them bushes, Don. We need TSA checking everybody. I mean, it could be hiding right there in the bushes, Al-Qaeda.
And Walmart. So, and Walmart, too. That's the
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Don. You know, I mean, it is really disgusting to see how the traitors in our government are stooping so low to try to turn this country into another communist, fascist type of state. East Germany, Bolshevik Russia, Red China, where all of the populace is worried about somebody ratting them out because they did something that maybe the big brother government won't like. I mean, you could be exhibiting some kind of individual freedom here that... you know, it was frowned upon. We all must be good little robots and all dress and look the same and act the same and not think. Just react, but never think. It's pathetic, Don. It really is.
And
I just hope that enough adults are astute enough to catch on to all this and make sure that they work with the kids in their own locales, instructing these kids properly so that the kids can see through this crap so they don't get steered into this nonsense of living like a robot and ignoring your neighbors and learning how to be sociable and interacting. I mean, this is how they break it all down so they can then establish such control over everything. And we have to make sure we do not cooperate in any way with that strategy. And that's why it's so important for adults to stay on top of these kids, steering them away from all this crap, making them well aware of the traps that are being set for them and that they don't step in them and they know how to avoid them. Don't get hung up on the technologies. Don't become so much that of an introvert that you have no idea of what's going on in your own backyard, that you don't even know your neighbors to some degree where you have some kind of rapport, that you know your neighbors you can rely on your neighbors if you're away to keep an eye on your place, and likewise, if they're away, they can feel comfortable knowing that neighbors are keeping an eye on their place while they're away. And that's what American values were all about. You know, I mean, at one time, Don, when we were growing up, when we were kids, nobody locked their doors.
Oh, I know. You didn't
imagine
lock your door and
that's right
on your house or your car.
That's right. You didn't lock. Why? Because you were not afraid of your neighbors trying to rip you off.
Well, most of my neighbors were Americans.
Exactly.
That makes a big difference.
Right? That's right.
And I'm sure yours were too, for that matter. Now, they were Americans with ancestry from all over the world, but everybody had gone through the same process to become an American.
That's right, Don. And we were all growing up together as kids, hanging out with each other. We all knew everybody. And the parents all knew us. And, you know, if you did something wrong, you were in trouble because they would tell your parents about what you did. And all that is good. All that is good. They were. It's not that they weren't minding their own business. They were doing the right thing, making sure that that the kids were put in check when they got out of line, did something very inappropriate, and it's only proper that they get disciplined. But oh gosh, can't forget that today. Oh no, the kids should be able to do whatever they want. You can't discipline them. The parents don't have the right to discipline their kids. Oh, and they teach the kids don't listen to your parents. You know, they're not that smart. They really don't care about you. We care more about you. I would instruct my nieces and nephews when they were young growing up through the BS school system that is so much declined compared to when we were in it, not to fall for that crap. Anytime they hear that through their public school system crap that the teachers or the school cares about you, I say, listen, don't you believe any of that crap. Your parents, your family love you more than anybody else. And never, ever believe that they care for you less than a stranger cares for you. And over time, you know, as the kids grow up, they can see it all. And you keep their feet on that straight path. And thank God, all in all, the kids shape up well. And they don't get trapped in any of this nonsense that they're indoctrinating in with the kids today.
This organized crime family that has taken over the school system has set it up in a way that if a child misbehaves in school, the parents are responsible and the CPS comes in, and then false allegations of child abuse are levied against the parents so that they can put them in jail and begin the shakedown proceedings to basically raid their bank account, raid their pension funds, raid their social security, and take over their real estate and any other valuable property they have.
Mm-hmm.
All this just to play this little game that they play in the courts.
And yes, Don, and it also gives them much more leverage over families and as well as breaking up families more and more. This is what they're all about. They're very anti-family. They can't allow a family to exist because if families exist, then they can't exert control.
Well, it's a cult of a sort. You know, when a high school graduate leaves his local community and goes possibly out of state or several hundred miles away to college, they're away from their family, and that's where the cults hang out. Knowing that the kids are without their relatives, they're with unless they live right in town there, and still they're subjected to the same sort of it's a subtle brainwashing. It might be some political movement or some social movement or some quasi religious movement that promises to lead these kids to enlightenment, and then they fall for a trap. They become one of the Moonies or Hare Krishnas. And then 20, 30 years later, they go on the internet and they write about what crazy decisions they made because of all this peer pressure and conformity that goes on. You see, they're not teaching kids to think, as you said. They're not teaching them the reason. They're not exercising the creative aspects of their being. They're just teaching them to memorize answers to tests. They figure if they can get them to bring the right answer, then they're mind controlled.
Well, even, you know, in addition to that, with the tests today, especially in mathematics, you don't even have to have the right answer. And they say, okay, you were close. 2 and 2 is doesn't equal five, but we're going to pass you because you're close. It's four. You're close. I mean, that goes to prove because, right there that the school system has. It's all about lowering the kids' aptitudes while they social engineer them into just being good little drones. And again, with this government family service stuff, Don, obviously their intention is to break up families and ruin kids, because all the poor kids, you hear the stories over the years of families being broken up, and then the child services grab the kids, and then they take care of the kids at that point. And what happens to these kids? They get ruined.
They go to foster homes, many of which are abusing the kids.
That's right.
Just one example.
Exactly.
And if not that, they end up becoming juvenile delinquents.
Sure.
They go into prison, or they go to mental institutions where they're turned into complete guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical industry. It's never ending.
And it's outrageous. And we have to shut that down. We have to make sure that they go to jail for such horrendous crimes against the family. They don't have the authority to bust your door down and say, well, we see a bruise on your kid, and even though we don't have any proof, we believe you're beating him up, even though the kid might have just got bruised playing football with his pals out in the field. And so, but they don't care. They immediately seize the kids, and now you have to prove you're innocent and that the kids did not get harmed by you. And it's incredible that this is where we are today. But it's obviously a plot to break up families, to constantly break up the families from every approach, because if you can break up a family, enough families, your country will have no future at all. Because family unit structure is the most fundamental element to a solid, healthy country. And so, of course, the enemy knows that. These devil scumbags are very aware, and they have this strategy.
They themselves don't have any families, you know.
What's that?
They themselves don't have any families.
Precisely. Precisely, Don.
When you do the genealogical work I've done, they don't have families.
That's right. Look at Slick Willie. No family. And the Bushies, GW and those guys, I mean, they pose as they had a family, but obviously he couldn't have much of a family because GW is so sick of an individual. And the rest of the Bushies, too, they're all very sick individuals. And so, yes, that's part of the MO. They don't have a solid family, Don, and that's how they're able to utilize these individuals and mold them and shape them to do their bidding as they get older. And then they prop them up in politics to advance their agenda further as they take these positions in politics to make sure that legislation keeps passing that constantly erodes the American individual's freedoms and liberties while they advance a bloated federal government that becomes more and more like the Nazi or the fascist or communist type of regimes that just have one intention, and that is to take all your freedoms away, all your wealth, and make you serve the state at all costs. And this is pretty much where we are now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm reminded of some teachers I talked to recently who say, you know, we prepare these kids for the tests and they still flunk the test. What are we doing wrong? And I said, you're following this crazy system. Was this how you were trained when you were in college 20 years ago or 30 years ago to not encourage learning for the sake of learning, teaching them how to read, not how to recognize the sounds of what you're saying according to number one or number two or number three? They're literally using the tests that they take as the practice tests. For practice runs, that's how robotic it's become.
Yeah,
and you know they. Oh.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's a lot of the blame goes on the parents too.
Sure it does,
for allowing.
Absolutely.
You know.
You betcha.
And count.
And of course, you know, they will state that it's difficult for them because they got to work two jobs and they're not around the kids enough, and that's a valid a point as well. And so they've created a system and imposed it upon us now where it's very difficult for a family structure to remain cohesive because everybody's spread apart, because everybody's trying to make ends meet. Either the kids are all over the place with the school all day long, and then the mom and dad have to work all day long, and so nobody sees each other. And it's really clever and very effective how they've created this system. And so we have to obviously be aware that this is the system we're in and make sure we do everything we can to stay out of that system. Don't get caught up in it anyway. Don't at least allow it to bring about the results that they're intending, and make sure that no matter what, you keep track of the kids all the time. And of course, it's going to be a heavy burden on the parents, but hey, that's why you're parents. You have to forget about yourselves now. You got kids to raise. Their well-being has to be priority number one, not your well-being. Everything you do has to be to ensure that the kids have the best chance they can at establishing themselves in a positive approach to their life as they get older, so that they're constructive individuals in society and they have a lot to offer instead of constantly taking. And so it's a big burden on parents, but hey, that's, you know, this is what it's all about if you're going to decide to become a parent. And so it's a very difficult system that we're in today, making all of this very difficult for sure. But hey, at the same time, you know, there's always challenges in life. These are the modern challenges we have to face as parents. And as a result, yeah, as adults, as men, you have to own up to that, because your soul's in the balance. The good Lord's going to take a close look at you and say, look, you brought kids into this world and you neglected them. You didn't provide what they really needed, and you could have, but you were still selfish about what you wanted. And you neglected what the kids really needed. And that's all going to come around on those individuals that aren't proper with their kids, raising them up. And it's, of course, it's a lot of sacrifice that you have to make, but you chose to be a parent. You have to own up to it. That's a whole new life form you brought into the world. You're responsible for that. And so, you know, this is the kind of discussion that a lot of parents need to hear too, Don. And it's a shame that there's not forums out there at a local level for parents to tap into, so they can get that kind of support that they need from, you know, people like us that understand this and know how to encourage them, know how to support them, and even help them if they need some help. And show them that there's a path that they can take that will benefit them as parents as well as their whole family. And it might be difficult in the beginning, but if you stay on that path, in the long run, you'll be so happy you did, because you'll succeed as parents. Your kids will come up straight and strong, and they'll be wise to the system that we're in. And then over time, we can destroy the system, because the kids are the future. And that's why they're under attack. They know they destroy the kids, this country will have no future. Break up the family, destroy the kids so they have no volition of their own. And then this country will definitely be putty in their hands. And that's why it's so important for parents to understand all this and take that responsibility seriously. And in the long run, they will be glad they did, because they will benefit from having the strength, perseverance, and patience to devote enough time to their kids and giving them all the proper attention and nourishment at the physical, mental, and spiritual levels that they need. And that's the key to it all. That's why it's all under attack. And these devils, they understand this better than anybody. And that's why we're seeing all this manifest before our eyes. But Don, because of people like you with your show all the time, exposing all this, and I just hope enough people are listening and spreading the word, and then we could turn it all around. That's just the beauty of God's approach to living. You know, the truth is always there. We just have to open our eyes and open our ears, and it's right there in front of us. And then we apply the truth at the individual level, and we'll see the fruits manifest in a matter of time. And then you know it's worth all the while, all that effort paid off, and nothing will be able to deviate you from constantly pursuing the truth and sharing it with the kids as you raise them up so they recognize the truth in all its manifestations. And then we could turn this whole table around on these dirtbags, get this country back on track, everything looking bright again. And kids, you see, now another thing with the kids today, Don, with the school system the way it is, you know, there's no skills, really no skills at all, no trades. They encourage them to go to college, which is a crime because there's no jobs waiting for these kids after college. So now they're coming out of college with a big debt over their head without the proper employment that's going to pay them a salary that where they can pay off that loan in a decent manner of time. So then that they can get out of that hole, that financial debt, and then start getting their lives together financially so they can raise a family. And so that's a real crime today. I tell the kids, don't go to college today. Be smart. Learn trades. And once you get good at one, learn another one. Because things are going to get so bad that you may not find much demand for one skill, but these other skills you have will find demand. And over time, you'll keep being employed and being able to earn your way through life without being in deep in debt right out of the gate, because these college kids today are being set up to be just deep in debt and without any decent job waiting for them, and that spells a lot of trouble for these kids.
There was a recent piece written, I can't remember who wrote it, but was talking about the scam of the universities. And I'll tell you,
that
college was easier than high school. There was really nothing difficult about it.
Wow.
Now the way they prepare you for high school today or school in general, I don't know that that's the situation, but, most college aged kids that I've talked to have all said that, college wasn't all that it was cranked up to be. But that they had to go so that they would be guaranteed a job. And look at how many college graduates are flipping hamburgers.
Exactly, Don.
Where have the jobs gone? What did that college education teach those running the corporations that moved out of the country? Oh, if we play our cards right, we can find somebody to do the work for less money. Therefore, we can increase our profit margin. And we don't really care who makes our products, because the money we get is all green in the end. And this way.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's the attitude that business has.
Now, unfortunately, the big corporations, the money's the bottom line, profit's the bottom line. That's right, Don.
While stressing, to us that we're supposed to focus on service. We're serving our government now. I think the cart's definitely in front of the horse, and the horse's rear end is
yeah,
right,
absolutely,
right there.
Sure is. And at the same time, these big corporations with their huge profit margin increases because they're going abroad to slave labor countries where they don't have to pay them really anything, no benefits, nothing. And when IBM is boasting, 50, 60 billion in profits, and Steve Jobs of Apple, 40 billion in profit. And it's like these dirtbags are rolling in profit like that, and yet they can't afford American middle class salaries? That's BS. They can clearly afford it all. And so this is, it's just I'm very disappointed that the American people didn't show more outrage when all those good jobs were going abroad through the late 90s into the 2000s. And the media, of course, totally useless. Obviously, never hammering home, why are these big corporations selling out the American middle class? Why are they going abroad to slave labor countries like communist China? No, they would just cover it like Lindsay Lohan's in the rehab or Britney Spears, just off the cuff, like it has no significance, no impact on the future of this country. Goes to show how lame the media is, the main mainstream media out there coming out of Rockefeller Center here on the East Coast, how they don't have any interest at all in enlightening the Americans into the real situation, the real news, the real truth. They just spoon feed us the dribble, and the American people just lap it right up, up to now anyway. We should have been hammering our government to say, you tell IBM that they better keep these jobs here. Otherwise, you shut IBM right down. You tell them they're not going to be allowed to sell any IBM products in the United States ever again. And that we will confiscate all IBM property in U.S. sovereign soil and nationalize that outfit. But no, 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 no talk like that. And Steve Jobs, $40 billion, and he can't afford to pay American wages. I mean, Steve Jobs, you can stick it, buddy. You cheap bastard. Well, you're no good. You're doomed to hell.
I'm not certain, though, that nationalizing a company like IBM, which is as dark as they come anyway, or you know, look at what happened to GM. Okay? Now,
yes, Don, I know. I agree, you know, and nationalizing isn't really the way to go, but it should be done in such a way where the infrastructure of that big corporation's back in the hands of the Americans that built it up. And it remains private sector for sure, because I agree. You know, like GM's a great example. I mean, supposedly we own GM because Obama bailed them out with taxpayer big bucks, but GM, they haven't shown any kind of appreciation towards the United States and the Americans. They're in China and Brazil, building up their enterprises there while they just shaft the Americans and take away all their jobs, and so yeah, nationalizing is really not the proper approach for us. Should be taken back over in private hands, but the profits of those big corporations are divvied back up at the local levels around the country. So it goes back into the infrastructure, as well as making sure that the employees get a good, decent salary.
That's not at all what's happening. When they took it over, what did? They started a cash for clunkers program, and the people that got financing signed away their rights to their computer to the government. I mean, what does that have to do with buying a car? Dealers didn't get paid.
Right, that I heard. Yes.
Yeah.
But so. They signed over to computers. What do you mean by that, Don?
Oh yeah, they had to go online and apply, and as soon as they go online, the computer becomes the property of the state. As part of the contractual agreement. Oh, yeah.
Big Brother wants to own you.
That went real far, didn't it? The cash for clunkers program.
Yeah, then it's more, you know, just more like, oh, it was good for the economy. Wasn't that the hype crap coming out of lamestream media? You know, it's another incentive to help stimulate the economy because things are so slow right now. Mm-hmm. As we'll be able to sell more cars. I mean, what kind of crock of crap is that? But GM took a lot of that big bucks money that Obama was so nicely given to them out of the taxpayers' pockets, and they went straight to Brazil to build the biggest plant they ever had. To this point in time, it's in Brazil, not in the U.S. Now they take the U.S. taxpayer money and they go to Brazil to build their biggest plant, not in the U.S. Now you ought to take those guys out from GM and hang them right on the spot.
And everybody that put them there.
Amen. That's right. Exactly right.
You know, and you had all of these scandals, the Bear Stearns, AIG, IndyMac, Countrywide, HUD, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, The list goes on. You had the Bush.
All government agencies.
Silverado savings scandal in Denver. You remember that? $150 billion
of yes.
stolen money.
Mm-hmm.
And people are praising the Bushes.
Right.
Oh, the idiocy and the ignorance is staggering.
Short-term memory, taking advantage of that old short-term memory. Americans just don't remember what happened just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. Very sad, but amazing. But yes, absolutely, Don. You know, and all these big bloated government agencies that have no constitutional lawful authority are just milking this country dry. They're milking the American producer dry. Those people that go wake up every morning to go out there to earn an honest living, to try to pay all their bills and raise their family the best they can, getting ripped off, milked left and right through all these agencies where obviously, you know, we have nothing left. They have all the wealth now and we have virtually, we're left with nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Michael, we're almost out of time here. I want to give you a chance to catch up on that story before your next visit on Evident Footprints, the one regarding the Center for Disease Control and their prediction of a zombie apocalypse, they're calling this. This was actually covered by the mainstream media, which tells you it's a psyop right there because they don't tell you the truth about anything. So obviously they're just going to make up the story. And
more distractions so we don't focus on what's really happening.
These people, it was obvious they were evil during the promotion of the swine flu and the bird flu and the SARS vaccines.
That's right. That's right.
On and on and on.
Hyping everybody into fear. You got to get a shot. It's coming. You got to get a shot. And obviously, all BS. Don, constant distractions so the Americans don't focus on what's really happening. Number one, borders wide open. Mm-hmm. Incredible illegal invasion flooding this country left and right. All at the taxpayer expense again. Our government doesn't seem to have a problem with just wasting taxpayer money instead of letting the hard-earned producers keep that money so they can use it for their own well-being, rightfully so. It's the fruits of their labor. Or you have a phony president, foreign-born, can't even prove that he's a legitimate born. He's just coughed up another birth certificate. And so the first one that they said was legitimate, obviously, there's no questioning how, you know, what's the second one? We were told the first one was legitimate. And all of that just flies right off the table. And the media keeps us all distracted from what's really going on here. The economy crashing, the dollar collapsing. All our troops still caught up abroad in what? Foreign BS that we have no business being over there in. And so, obviously, the mainstream media just constantly has one purpose, to keep the Americans distracted from these key issues.
Yeah. Recently, you mentioned the birth certificate, and that's worth at least my getting 2 cents in there in that regard. I wrote a piece called The Creation of an Usurper. And this was basically a follow-up to my Three Stooges Go to Washington on the No-Legged Mac Daddy. And I flat-out said that he will not produce a birth certificate because there isn't one.
Mm-hmm.
Or certificate of live birth. Either one. There isn't a legitimate record of his being born in Hawaii. That's quite simple.
Now, yes.
When Donald Trump announced that he was going there with a team of investigators. Oh, somehow the money of a billionaire is able to get to the truth. Well, he darn well knows Obama's ineligible to be the president of the United States. They all know it.
Sure they do.
They all know it, okay? So it doesn't matter if you and I hitchhiked and swam to Hawaii, we would we would not come back with a certificate of live birth because there isn't one. That's why the guy can't produce one. How difficult is that to comprehend?
You got that right, Don.
I mean, really.
It's so obvious.
One, wouldn't he present the real one?
Well, exactly. He can't. Exactly. You know, I mean, he's caught in another lie. He presented one, what, about a year ago, roughly, claiming that here it is.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you covered that back then, proving that obviously it's fraudulent documentation. But now, all of a sudden, here's another one. And this is a legitimate one. I mean, right there, you got this guy in a lying scheme. But the media, oh, man, they obviously have short-term memories. They don't recall the one presented a year ago and questioning why there's another one that's different and trying to expose all that. So it's clearly a major conspiracy here, though, even though, there's no such thing as conspiracies, and we're all crazy for believing that.
Now, Dr. Jerome Corsi published a book called Where's the Birth Certificate? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's claiming that Obama's grandmother witnessed the birth and was made aware of the birth. But she also says that Barack Obama Sr., the guy that they said was the father, is not the father. They know he doesn't look anything like him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then she can't be the grandmother.
Right.
You see? And that document is as phony as a $3 bill or a Federal Reserve note, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it sure sounds like it, Don. You know, sometimes you can't say that the offspring always don't have the physical resemblances of their parents. So you can't always go by that. But one thing's for sure from Corsi's work, he's on the trail of the facts proving that Obama is definitely not a legitimate born American and therefore not qualified.
I'll agree.
Not qualified to be president. And for that, I'll give him the credit of at least pursuing that and staying on that trail, because for us as Americans, that's all we just need to establish is that one fact that this guy is definitely not a legitimate born American, therefore not qualified to be president. What his true origins are, that is to be determined as we sort through all the mud that they keep flinging on anybody on that trail trying to establish those facts, that criteria. But at least we can come to the conclusion that this Obama is not a real legitimate American and therefore not lawfully qualified to be a president of our country.
Yeah. Now, and I say Indonesia, you know I've said that, and I've written
sure.
it. And the tsunami that we had in 2004 that hit Indonesia and killed over 146,000 people was targeted the day after there was a ritual sacrifice of a child named Obama. Now, that, to me, is a definite connection.
How did you manage to find that out to be, those circumstances to be occurring just prior to that big event, Don?
I was following a sequence of events that worked out in numerology by dates to the number 11. The baby lived 56 days. The baby was born on Halloween. And it died on Christmas Day, 2004. Lived 56 days. 5 and 6 is 11. The date was the alleged great-grandfather of the no-legged Mac Daddy. His birthday, his 110th birthday anniversary. Rolla Payne was the name he used, okay? This was not a relative, but in their satanic sacrifice, it meant everything. 110 works out to an 11. Then they announced the official pronouncement of deaths on December 26, 2004, the next day when the tsunami hit, was 146,000. 1 and 4 is 5, and 6 is 11. And then there was an address of an apartment in the name of this Renee Abena Obama child that lived 56 days in Tamarack, Florida. Now, the street address was 111. It's a condominium in the Tamarack development in Florida. And you had four 11s. Now, add or multiply 4 times 11, and you get what? 44.
Of course, 44.
Okay. What number is the no-legged Mac Daddy's presidency?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's how they do their rituals. Whether anyone wants to believe it, you know, I'm not asking anyone
well
to believe.
Well, Don, I mean, sure. I mean, obviously that...
It just so happens every date and or every event that took place in regard to that child's name.
That's amazing set of circumstances and facts that you've presented there, Don. And it's definitely, you know, amazing that you're able to track all that down and piece it all together. But the bottom line for sure is that child sacrifices go on all the time. And that has to be recognized. All these kids on milk cartons. That's what's going on here. This is highly organized. This isn't random kidnapping. And mm-hmm. These devil scumbags really hate kids tremendously. And so sacrificing is one of their techniques of satisfying their false gods that they serve throughout their entire lives. So that is all established fact. And so what you just presented there is not hard to believe because it's going on all the time. But nonetheless, those circumstances that you just covered, it's amazing how you track all that down in such a way.
Well, I was following leads, you see, and I had come up with a number of very questionable aliases. And how do I know it was a sacrifice? Well, normally a child that was about to die, if it hadn't been hit by a truck or a car or a bus or fallen from 15 flights out of a hotel window or Bethesda Hospital, mm-hmm. as an example, would have been reported by a doctor or a coroner. This was reported by a funeral home, which is very, very suspicious. I mean, we're mm-hmm. talking about the no-legged Mac Daddy. And it was as if someone had put trash out and allowed the baby had a social security number too. They had to have that because that money gets pooled. It's a bond. Everybody has a bond
right
on them secretly. They don't know.
Yes,
but somebody,
that's right.
You know, and when you die, that bond is cashed in. Somebody got their hands on probably $2.2 million, somewhere around there. Rounded off to $2 million. But I hear right now the bond is about $2.2 million a person from the time you're born.
Well, that's a racket right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, there isn't any American individuals with Social Security numbers receiving such money if somebody in their family dies. And so that this is going on behind the scenes is it's just amazing. I mean, who is forking out the money?
Well, see, this is a web of organized crime that connects to the banks, the stock market, insurance companies, which like to call themselves holding companies, pharmaceutical companies, medical clinics, hospitals, research organizations, think tanks, they're all involved in this. Not to mention the courts, judges.
Yes, I understand all that, but that, you know, somebody's forking out $2 million on a coverage of a young kid after they snuff them.
Well, there's a lot of theft that goes on, you see. But
yeah, that's for sure. That's all going on. But that's just so difficult to grasp how you know, somebody saying, okay, you know, here's $2 million for that kid. I mean,
well, that money gets put into a Ponzi scheme, you see. It lives its existence in a Ponzi scheme until somebody officially can reach in and take it out and put it in their pocket, divvy it up amongst themselves. That's what's been going on. They started doing this a few years ago, raiding all the corporate pension funds.
Yes, you see, now that there's money there that they can raid. But when we're all born and given a Social Security number and somebody's bonding, you know, a million or two for each individual being born with a Social Security number, I mean, who is issuing out that money if that particular individual dies?
Well, I would say it's those that make the money. Who else would it be? You see, they don't back the money with gold anymore.
Yes, I understand that. So, but they don't create, you know, most of this money is not even created. Of course, it's all digits as well.
Yeah.
And so then, again, they'd have to then create the money to provide the $1 or $2 million that these individuals are supposed to be bonded by. It's just.
Well, see, you don't have the criminal mind, but.
That's for sure. I'm not a Meyer Lansky type. And that's exactly the kind of person that would conceive such incredible schemes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be some news coming up. Wait till you hear where what Meyer Lansky has in common with a certain politician.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I know he's tight with the Bush. He used to be tight with old man Bush. I know that.
Well, he was tight with organized crime on a worldwide basis.
Oh, sure, exactly. Meyer Lansky, big time. But he was very tight with old man Pappy Bush there, Poppy Bush. Very tight. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that proves that the Bush family is totally corrupt, totally dirty.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right. I mean, that's just more evidence of that.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're out of time. Hate to end the conversation, but we have to say goodnight. I want to thank you for being on the show. I know you've been very busy. We all have lately. And I appreciate you coming on board tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Don. Thanks for inviting me. And glad you're doing well. And we just wish you good night and God bless to everybody. Thank
you. Okay. We'll see you again soon on Evident Footprints, too, I hope.
Great. I look forward to it, Don.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. com and our guest, Michael Anthony. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Don Newsom on the sound tonight. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night, Wellness Wednesday, when my special guest will be Dr. Wayne Pickering. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.